The following is sponsored by Generations Bank. Generations Bank has been serving the financial needs of the Finger Lakes region since 1870. Generations combines the best of modern banking with a dedication to our local communities. Whether you're looking for a checking account, CDs, a home improvement loan, you name it, we have what you need. We are committed to serving and giving back to our communities. Visit us online at mygenbank.com. Generations Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. The following program is also courtesy of Lincoln Hill Farms. Every Friday and Saturday night in October, Lincoln Hill Farms will feature a Halloween-themed walking trail, zombie hunt, and be on the lookout for their bewitched farm characters lurking about the grounds. Plus, enjoy Friday family nights with a discount on admission prices and a DJ spinning up spooktacular tunes. Saturday night, they'll be showcasing some frighteningly good music with live local bands. There'll be a little bit of something for everybody at Halloween Fest at the farm. Get more information and tickets online at LincolnHillFarms.com. Everybody, welcome into Fresh Takes with Russo and Felice here on FingerLakesForum.com. Paul Russo, as always, Nick Felice. Nick, how you doing today?
Tuesday, not hump day.
Recording Tuesday,
recording,
yes.
Recording Tuesday, but
premiering Wednesday.
Yeah, so this is on Wednesday. Man, what a game last night. The Orioles got swept.
Oh, jeez. calling a weird shot that might come back as a freezing cold take.
But, yeah, good day. A lot of, I'm going to save my shout-outs for later. I was going to give a shout-out right now, but I'll save it for later. That's the point of the show.
Traditions, yeah.
Tradition. But, yeah, doing good. How are you?
Good. Can't complain. Yeah, we're recording on Tuesday. This will go live on Wednesday, so when you see it, it's normal time. No worries. But, yeah, Nick, you have a big day ahead of you on Wednesday, so that's why we're convening today as you go cover the sectional golf tournament.
Yeah, qualifying. It's like the league championship, but it's both. It's the league championship, but it's also sectional qualifying.
Gotcha. Okay.
And for next spring. So I'm pretty sure this is the end. I'm almost certain this is the end of the fall season. So this is the last hurrah of the fall golf season.
Gotcha.
A lot of Finger Lake schools going at it, and so does Bay Heights Golf Club. Never been there before, but we'll be there tomorrow.
All right.
But today. You'll get the point.
Yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down there. So, yeah, we'll obviously cover our NFL stuff today, NCAA, and we'll talk a little bit of puck, NHL, because it starts, obviously recording-wise tonight, but, it's opening week for the NHL.
It was a great game. The rookie, Bednard.
He
had a great game last night.
Bednard, by the way. We just messed it up. Shout out Eric.
Bedard, yeah. Great game last night. Enough of the predictions.
Yeah. All right, NFL, let's hop right into it. Interesting weekend. Don't know if we necessarily learned anything, but let's start, I guess, Thursday night with my Commanders, because did you anticipate the Bears doing that? Because I sure didn't. Justin Fields had a day, but DJ Moore, if you had to play him in fantasy this week, like I did in one league, it was pain. It was pain.
Roll the tape.
Wow.
I didn't predict that the score would be like that, but I did predict the Bears to win. I just had a feeling. I did not even realize Chicago had this big losing streak.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea. They hadn't won in almost a year. It was pretty close to a year, and calendar-wise. No idea, but I don't know. Justin Fields looked good the week before. I just thought they were due. I'm not sold on Sam Howell. I know you're a big Washington guy, but I'm just not sold on him. He played well, though. I just had a feeling. I had a hunch, and a hunch got me we'll get to predictions later, but it got me, a win to start off the week. We'll just say that. But, I wasn't too surprised, but it was a good win for Chicago. I think they're better. They're not the worst team in the league. I'll just say that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Sam Howell got, we talk about the guy has a dog in him. Sam Howell might have the whole kennel in him. yeah, I mean, he was the only reason I think Washington kind of was in it for
defensively they struggled.
Yeah, I don't get it at this point. I don't want to do the whole entire fire everybody thing, but Jack Del Rio I don't think is the answer. I don't think Ron Rivera is the answer anymore. I don't know. I don't know if we're looking down Eric Bieniemy being the head coach at some point this year, but he might be auditioning for next year.
Yeah, I think it's just one bad game.
Yeah, but there's been a lot of stuff. And obviously, it's a little bit different because I, you know, pay attention more to obviously your favorite team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Defensively all year, this was such a highly touted defense going into the year. And they are, if they're not the worst, I think they're like 31st in the league.
Are you shocked that they lost that game?
Shocked?
Yes. Big word there.
No, not in the grand scheme of it. I mean, it's Washington we're talking about here.
You're never shocked.
No. No. Let's fast forward to Sunday a little bit here. I guess we'll begin with London. Bills just did not look good offensively. Offensively. Defensively, with all those injuries that happened to them. And by the way, I don't think I've ever seen – just timing-wise, the amount of players go down in such a way, it was like every three to five minutes, it seemed like another Bills defender was down. And that defense kept them in that game probably much longer than it should have. And for the fact that the Bills were kind of in it there at the end, I think that's a testament to their defense. Offensively, that's probably – I think it's the worst that they've been all year. It's probably the worst that they've been all year in my overall aspect of it. I guess it depends how you really want to chalk up that week one loss to the Jets. But I thought it was the worst offensively they looked all year. I don't know. I don't – it's weird because it's like you, like the gulf between Diggs to Davis and then Davis to like the rest of the team reception-wise is kind of staggering. And I get you're supposed to, quote-unquote, feed your number one, but at the same token, there's got to be a balance there, and there's not. And I don't know fully if that's full-fledged game plan that way or what, but they're going to need to figure, I think, something out to a degree, because it's pretty apparent if they come across like at least a decent defense like Jacksonville, for example, it's causing them enough fits that they have to figure out a way around it. And they did with Miami, obviously, now 2 weekends ago. You know, Miami defense, I think there's a lot to be desired, but, like, they're good enough, I think, to probably sustain what they're trying to do this year. But, like, obviously, week one, you look at the Jets, like, that's a very good defense, as we know. Raiders defense is the Raiders defense. Denver defense. Miami defense trending closer to the Jets than I would say the others, but obviously nowhere near there. And I would probably stick the Jacksonville defense between the Jets and the Dolphins in terms of how they faced this year. But, you know, to me, you know, that offense, when they see a decent defense, clearly they got to figure something out.
It's kind of similar to the Cowboys a little bit, too.
Sure, right. Yeah, no, definitely. That's a good example, actually, yeah.
They beat up on weak teams, but when they play a good defense, they just kind of struggle. But I thought Josh Allen looked good in this game.
Yeah. No, I don't want to make it sound like I don't think he didn't look good. But I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I'll let you continue before I –
It was a joke that Paul didn't get. I thought Josh Allen looked good.
Oh.
He had a lot of sacks and a lot of passes.
Forgot about that, yeah. That one's on me.
He didn't get it. It's all right. I guess I'm a Jacksonville Jaguars fan. I've sat down and watched 2 incomplete Jacksonville Jaguar games 2 weeks in a row, so I think I'm a Jaguars fan.
You're just respecting former Giant head coach Tom Coughlin and his I guess maybe – more predominantly long career with the Jaguars compared to the Giants?
Yeah, sure. but the Bills, they –
Waterloo legend Tom Coughlin.
The Bills played catch-up in this game. That's just not a great formula for success. It's going to be hard to come back when you're just playing from behind the whole game. But I'm not one to take – I'm not going to take the injury excuses. Sure, the Bills have had a lot more injuries – A lot more key injuries than a lot of teams this year.
Right.
But injuries is just an excuse. But one excuse I will ride with the Bills here is the travel excuse. Like, why did Jacksonville get to have a chance? I think Bills should have left a little earlier than Friday.
Well, and that's what I was going to say to that.
It's kind of It was kind of unfair that they got a whole week to, you know, to get used to the time zone, jet lag is gone, and just being there in general, just well-rested, comfortable. Wasn't the same field, but, right, it wasn't the same field. I think it was a different field.
Yeah, they played at Wembley 2 weekends ago, and this past weekend was Tottenham Hotspur. Yeah.
But anyway, they were there. The Bills just showed up and looked sleepy in that first quarter. You can't argue that.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm going to agree with you is they probably should have left. I mean, I don't know. It's tough, right, because I don't know what you exactly outright travel plan from Sunday at 4 o'clock. But, like, Baltimore, you know, they play Tennessee in London this week. And they left, I believe, I want to say, because obviously recording Tuesday, I think they left this morning on Tuesday.
So they already left.
I believe, yeah.
Tennessee?
I think the turnaround was somewhere that. I don't know Tennessee's. I just know because of the slaughtering that the Saints gave to the Patriots, they swapped games over. That was one of the last kind of things they were talking about in the game.
Why did the Bills leave so late?
I don't know. It's tough. I mean, it's not the Jaguars, and this is where I do agree on the league situation, but, like, I don't like how – I've seen some people be like, well, the Jaguars, like, that's on them for – like, if you're them, you're obviously going to stay the week over there. Like, you know, it's not, quote-unquote, their fault that they had the back-to-back that way.
And it was definitely a Bills home game, it felt like. A lot more Bills fans there than Jags.
Yeah, so I don't know. It's interesting because I don't know if I take the full-fledged the London game thing has run its course, but, like, I think it's jumped the shark in a way. Like, I'm kind of am over it a little bit. I don't like – see, and this is the part I don't necessarily agree with people. Like, somebody was just, like, shared a photo and was just, like, all these games and there's never any of just, like, outright one team there who's, like, got the overwhelming support. It's always just a bunch of every team's jersey there. I'm like, yeah, that's the purpose of these games. Like – and he talked about how, like, of a failure it is. Like, if that's the case, then the Super Bowl is a failure every year. Like, I don't want to be that guy, but, like, sure, there's predominantly in that situation, right, more people there for each team. But, like, at the Super Bowl, you're going to come across every jersey there. Like, that's just the way it is.
And also, I don't know who said that, but it's also they're not in Buffalo, you know?
Or in Jacksonville.
The reason there's more Bills fans at a Buffalo game is because it's in Buffalo.
Right.
They're not going to be – London is just not going to have a gazillion Bills fans.
It's not like the Bills.
You put
It's not like the Bills went from Orchard Park to Batavia this week.
No. Like, no, you put the Bills home game in Texas, you're not going to have a stadium full of Bills fans. I mean,
it's possible a little bit, but yeah.
But it's just like there's tons of Bills fans because of the season tickets and also the place is loaded with Bills fans.
Yeah.
The city. That's why. Yeah. That's a terrible reason.
It was a bad take, I thought.
Yeah. Awful.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd be fine with maybe one or two games in London at this point, maybe every year. But like
not five.
It's more than that. Isn't it like eight this year?
I think it's eight.
It's something ridiculous.
International games.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Because there's kind of the Mexico game.
And the Germany game. Yeah. True. Yeah, either way, I don't know. I don't mind like the Mexico one. At least it's kind of same time zone type deal going on, but
it's usually Monday night game, I think.
But I mean, I don't know. I don't know. The main issue is, right, I mean, the games still sell out each one, so it's like obviously from the business side of it, like even I'm not dumb enough to be like stop it, like take that money.
And those people over there, they look forward to when the NFL schedule comes out and they get to see who's coming.
Yeah, so I don't know. I guess some other stuff.
I had a question, though.
Sure.
I don't know the history of London game. Do West Coast teams not play over there because they're on so early in the morning?
See, I don't know about that because I remember Was it the Rams played over there a couple of years ago? But it was like in the 1 o'clock window on the East Coast.
Oh yeah, you're right.
So like
moved it to a night game.
Yeah. That's... So I definitely think they do it, but like we haven't had any of the 1 o'clock games yet this year. So I don't know.
I feel like I haven't seen one in a while.
Yeah. But I distinctly remember the Rams playing over there.
And they moved it to 1 o'clock.
Distinctly remember it.
And it was
yeah.
1 o'clock. Right. So it could, they could watch it. Because I can't imagine they're playing 6:30 in the morning for those fans.
No. No, but yeah, I now that you bring that up, I do remember the Rams being over there at least. Maybe.
Because it's always.
I feel like Seattle was over there too at some point.
Germany.
Wrong. Yeah.
But in Germany last year.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So. But it's definitely more East Coast type deal.
Yeah.
So. Other stuff from the week. The Patriots. I kind of alluded to it a little bit. I do want to talk about, like, the Patriots are just bad. And I think.
Gotta use a better word or a stronger word than that.
Fine. Dog water. Lemon booty.
I would have taken awful.
Awful. I go back to someone that I brought up last week, and I Mac Jones definitely deserves some fault, but, like, my God, is that, like, their offense is just bad. Like, wide receivers aren't good, and, like, none of them are, like, healthy this week either. None of them played, like, the full game for the most part. But, like, the amount of drop passes I saw from guys on the Patriots this week was, like, mind-blowing. So, like, don't get me wrong, like, I think Mac does have some faults. Like, I don't know. He's the guy for the future there. Like, I doubt it. If you're wondering if he is the guy, he probably isn't the guy. But, like, the amount of people were kind of just like, yeah, we told you, like, Mac was bad. I'm like, look at the people around him, too. Like, it's not – it's the same thing, like, the people right now talking about how, the Giants are getting showed why they shouldn't have paid Daniel Jones. I'm like, no, their line is bad. Like, they don't have, like, good enough weapons. Like, right. Like, it's just not –
not good for not a good. Quarterback with the last name Jones.
Right. Bingo. Right? So, like, at what point do we actually start pointing the finger at
Bill Belichick?
At Belichick. Or maybe because he's both in this situation, okay, do we do it more at Robert Kraft, who, as an owner, he has to take some sort of responsibility in this. He allowed this to happen. Right? You know, we've seen, like, and the Spurs are kind of going through this as well. The Spurs are actually a really good, like, example of this from another sport, where it's like, Belichick, I think, is great. And you know this, and probably the longer listeners and viewers of this know for this. Like, I think Popovich is freaking borderline the GOAT, right? I think they fall in the same category. But I think at this stage in their careers, they're at similar ages. I don't know if they're both built for doing what they've been doing. And clearly it's showing. I mean, the Spurs, the past 5 years, have just not been the Spurs that we grew up with. And the same clearly with the Patriots. And I think that comes down to just the conversation. And this year, I think they have to accept. This year is just done. I think it's a wash. But they're going to have conversations, like, going forward about, like, okay, like, we're going to bring you in some help here. We're going to take more off your plate if you want to keep doing this. Because, I mean, I don't mean to, like, look, we're sitting here. We aren't on the field. Like, obviously when we say somebody's good or somebody's bad, it's all objective. It's all objectively speaking at that point,
yeah.
Right? But, like, you can't sit here and tell me that you thought bringing in Juju Smith-Schuster – was going to make Mac Jones in that offense run at levels it hadn't seen in a couple years. Like, it's just not possible. Same with, like, Devontae Parker, like, now 2 years ago. Like, it's very apparent that the Dolphins were more than fine with letting him walk for a reason. So, I don't know, but this is – and don't get me wrong, I'm going to do that, like, victory lap. Like, haha, we're out of the Patriots now officially. Like, haha. But, like, at the same token, it's like, damn, like, they're bad.
Yeah, well, not scoring a point in two consecutive games is not good.
And it's, what, three across the last three or something like that? Like,
But this is a Patriots team that did make the playoffs 2 years ago.
Right.
I mean, something's happened in the last 2 years that has taken a complete dive south. And obviously, more and more as he keeps losing, more people think it was more Brady than it was Belichick,
right,
those championship runs. And I'm starting to believe in that, too.
To a degree, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, that. Belichick hasn't really done anything, right, and Brady won a Super Bowl with something.
The only reason why I kind of do, like, the half agree with that is because, like, Belichick before the Patriots, like, was making the playoffs with Cleveland, and, I mean, there's a reason why Parcells brought him everywhere. You know what I mean? Like, he can't be that average.
We'll never go to where people say Belichick's not a good coach. That's right. And he, like Popovich, they're never going to get fired. It's until they want to leave or the Boeheim and, you know, push them.
Well, I was about to say, like, that Boeheim one, it's pretty apparent we know now, was a we aren't going to fire you, but, like,
it's the door is right here. Yeah.
Which might happen with Belichick. I think that's how it would go down.
Yeah, and I'm actually more mad at ESPN because they had their power rankings come out today and they had the Giants last. And I know we're not great.
Oh, that's asinine.
Yeah, I know we're not great, but how can we be behind this Patriots team?
Wait a second here. Hold on.
And more importantly,
I'm going to go through the teams here.
How can we be behind the Panthers?
I was about to say, hold on.
They had a new power rankings today, and okay, we're 32nd. That's what I'm
I would about. Still put the Giants above, at minimum. I would still put the Giants above Denver. I just might be that down on Denver. I don't know. But yeah. I would put them above Denver still, at least. I don't care that they've now are showing whatever. I would definitely put them above Chicago. I'd put them above Carolina. I'd put them above New England.
That's fine.
Yeah. Do I dare put them above Atlanta?
Sure. But the point is, why are they last?
Yeah.
Why is ESPN put them last?
I think it's just a shock value. Like, again, like the game, like Sunday night. I think it's just kind of like the shock value of it. Or not Sunday night. I apologize.
And we played?
I think it's just kind of that shock value of, damn, they went out there again and just got absolutely smoked.
But we played Miami tough for a little bit there.
Yeah, like, that's the thing with it. Like, I don't
– we didn't get – the score doesn't look great, but
– and I go back to this. Like, the Giants clearly need to invest – in my mind, I know you might disagree a little bit here. I think they need to – before they deal with trying to get Daniel Jones a better wide receiving core, for the love of all things holy, you got to protect him first.
Yeah.
Like, this poor – and he's – is he? I think he's trending towards playing this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Like, my God, the fact that it took him like this long to get banged up is like a miracle of my mind.
How would you feel knowing that you're gonna get absolutely smashed?
I mean, I kind of have that going on with my teams right now, to be completely honest.
Daniel Jones knows he's gonna go in there and he's gonna get absolutely wrecked a couple times, and that's not a good feeling. But we're not arguing that they're top 20. We're arguing that they're not last.
Right.
ESPN.
Please.
But
yeah,
I personally think as bad as the Patriots are, I think the Panthers are the worst team.
Yeah,
record wise, does show that. But really, questioning Frank Wright. I know it's early in his Panthers tenure, but man, he has not won very much lately.
Well, I mean, it's tough this year. Obviously, you have Bryce Young.
DJ Stroud looked good.
I mean, yeah, I know.
Andy Richards looked good. He just can't stay healthy.
Well. They all have more dependable weapons in the grand scheme of it. I mean, I don't want to dismiss Thielen, but like Thielen.
Hurst.
Thielen's all right. Thielen's still all right. Okay, but like at that point, like DJ Chark is just I don't know what to make of him anymore. Hurst has moments, but like you have to utilize him or else he just becomes a blocking tight end, and that's about it.
Miles Sanders?
Yeah, I don't know what to make of him at this point. Part of it, I think, is more on him than some other portions of it. Carolina is a tough fan base. I know from not experience in this sense, but, like, my ties to that area kind of have me plugged in more so than I probably would be with a different team, like say if they were in Tennessee, for example. But like the fan base down there is so fickle with them that, like, the minute something goes sour, it's burn everything at the stake. And I don't think that's fair to Frank Reich. I don't think it's fair to Bryce Young. I don't think it's fair to, honestly, a defense that I thought was going to be kind of decent, but, like, they just can't get off the field. So it's like, they're there. They kind of fall into a case too. It's like, okay, now they have their young quarterback, build him up, get some protection in front of him, kind of figure out the rest after. I mean, Chuba Howard should be doing better than he is. I don't know what to make. I think Carolina has the pieces to go forward. It's just that I think they kind of just, once they got Bryce Young this offseason, kind of were just like, let's just see what we got this year, which you can't do. You just can't.
And on the flip side of that, you go from Christian McCaffrey in Carolina to now the man in San Francisco. And I personally think the Niners.
That team's a juggernaut.
Is just loaded all around.
Yeah.
The Eagles are loaded, but the Niners are really loaded.
Yeah.
And I know the Eagles beat them last year in the NFC Championship game, but you can improve from year to year without changing personnel or players, whatever you want to call it. You can improve, and I think they keep improving. Brock Purdy's improving. Christian McCaffrey, even his point in his career, continues to improve. They're just loaded, and the Cowboys looked outclassed.
Yeah.
They looked outclassed the other night.
Yeah, I mean, I think my main takeaway from that game is just it's very apparent it's San Fran, and then it's Philly, and then this is where I just do the rest of the league because I don't think the AFC – at this point is anywhere near as good as those other two teams. It's everybody else. I mean, that's just the way it is this year at this point. And I may be wrong, like, and it's whatever, I get it, but, like, Kansas City does nothing to me at this point because they just don't have a number one receiver. Mm-hmm. Like, he's got to have somebody, and he just doesn't.
And he finally looked good.
Yeah.
He said they needed to win that game.
Yeah. I'm not sold on them, though. They're still, I mean, T. Higgins is banged up. Who knows what the hell is going to – whether Jamar is going to be happy at this point going forward all the time. Buffalo very clearly has its pitfalls, as we've seen at this point. And then, you know, those other teams we thought were going to be contenders, right? Chargers like we have the past couple of years. Jacksonville.
Are the Steelers good?
No. I say no. But, like, it's pretty apparent that, like, the AFC has some catching up to do. And in the NFC, if you want to talk about any other teams, I mean, I'll allow it. But, like, nobody to me is going to come close to Philly. I don't know if Philly can really touch San Fran. You know? Like, I'm with you there. They're just a juggernaut right now, the 49ers.
Detroit and Seattle are a nice story.
I mean, they'll compete, right? Like, you don't – like, they're the teams that you don't want to face in that sense, right? But, like – they don't have the firepower yet. They just don't. Like, and I think it might be a little bit different because Seattle's quote unquote more veteran in nature, but, like, I mean, even then though, it's like, damn, like, yeah, I won't want to face you, but at the same token, like, I know you ain't gonna beat San Fran. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, that they're a juggernaut right now. They are
putting up points every week too.
And the defense doesn't allow any.
No.
It's wild.
They're loaded.
Yeah. All right, let's get into our picks.
How did we do last week?
So last week I was 9-5. I took the week again. You were 8-6. So the overall gap down to a single game, Nick. You're up 48-30 on the year to my 47-31.
Wow.
So how about that?
18 games over, I'll take it.
Yep. Game one this week. Oh, by the way, two teams on bye this week. That's it. So it's a 15-game slate. The two teams on bye, Pittsburgh and Green Bay.
Nice.
So,
the only two teams without a cheerleader.
They can't be the only two teams at this point.
I feel like the Bills. I knew when they played in the Super Bowl back in the day, it was the first time ever that both teams did not have a cheerleader.
I guess. Because I was about to say, I don't think the Browns or the Bills do anymore. I could be wrong.
We'll get our cheerleader facts for the next show.
Anyway, Thursday night football this week. Denver and Kansas City. Kansas City home, a 10.5-point favorite. Actually, go take Kansas City.
You sound pretty high on Denver.
Yeah, super high.
High Mile High City, baby. Yeah. But I'm going to go Kansas City in this game.
I would hope. All right, 9:30 a.m., Nick, in London, Baltimore at Tennessee. Tennessee, a 3.5-point dog.
They took a home game away from Nashville. AFC must have the extra game home game this year. So, who are they playing?
Baltimore.
Ah, got to bounce back. Why not go overseas and do it? I got the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm going Baltimore as well there. I just think they're the better team.
John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin have met, I think, 34 times or something like that.
Really?
It's like almost the most meetings ever between coaches.
Oh. All right, first of the 1 o'clock window, Washington at Atlanta. Atlanta's a 2.5-point favorite.
Washington bounce back. Like, going Washington.
I can't tell you how bad I didn't want to take Washington, but I have to. I'm just not high in Atlanta.
I'm not either.
Not high in Atlanta.
One of the worst 2-3 teams I ever. Are they 2-3?
Yeah.
One of the worst 2-3, 2-win teams ever. Cannot believe they have 2 wins.
All right. So, Minnesota at Chicago. Chicago a 2.5-point dog at home.
Minnesota has to win this one. I'm going Vikings.
Same. I'm going Minnesota as well. In theory, they're the better team. It'll be interesting, though. Will they have Justin Jefferson?
True.
You know?
It's hard to tell on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Seattle at Cincinnati. Seattle is a dog, so Cincinnati minus 2.5 at home. This was honestly the toughest pick for me this week, looking at it, because I do see it as being a toss-up game, and give me the road dogs. I'm going Seattle here.
Why?
So, I'm just not high in Cincinnati. I think Seattle.
You didn't write back.
What?
You didn't write back?
Write back? What's that mean?
Geno Smith, come on.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Gotcha.
Come on. We're not on the same page today.
Well, I'm just like, yeah.
It's Tuesday, man.
Tuesday madness. Look, I think Seattle's defense is kind of flying a little bit under the radar in the grand scheme of the league. Offensively, I liked what I saw in those last couple games. Now, Seattle was on a bye last week. But
this isn't Andy Reid off the bye, though.
I guess. Either way,
was good.
Either way, I just think Seattle is just playing better through the first few weeks, one. Two, because of that, I just think they have a better team at the moment. I think there's clearly a better cohesion with the Seahawks, so I'm going to go with them. I'm not sold on the Cincinnati good vibes being back yet.
I kind of am. I think they're going to get on a roll here, and I think this will be a nice big one for them.
All right.
With Cincinnati.
Staying in the AFC North, Cleveland hosts San Fran. The Browns are getting 5 at home.
I like San Fran. I mean, I want to say something nice about Cleveland, but this game's going to be tough for them.
I'll say something nice about Cleveland. They have a dog as their mascot.
That's nice.
Who doesn't like a dog? I mean, I know you don't really, but, you know.
Cat people.
I don't know. San Fran, though. New Orleans at Houston. Houston getting 1.5 at home. I'm kind of surprised the line is that small, but I'm going New Orleans here.
This one's tough.
Really?
Houston has played well.
They have.
They lost Atlanta, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
So Atlanta's 3-2.
Oh, yeah.
They lost that game. New Orleans defense is tough, so I'm going to go with the Saints.
All right. Indianapolis at Jacksonville. Jacksonville, 4-point favorite.
I like Gardner Minshew and the Colts.
Really?
They're finally coming back. Don't forget, just because you got rid of jet lag and over into London doesn't mean the jet lag comes back.
That's true.
They probably got here yesterday or whatever, but Gardner Minshew, man, can't go against the stash. I think they're going to get a big upset here.
So you're saying Gardner Minshew revenge game.
That's true. I forgot about that, yeah.
I'm going with George's vocal today. I'm going, though. I got to go Jacksonville. I'm a Gardner guy, but, like, Anthony Richardson provides a different flair when he's out on the field for that team. And, you know, Indy at this
expecting
point,
a bigger impact out of Jonathan Taylor?
Well, my main thing with Indy kind of goes in that time, in that frame, right, is, like, Taylor They couldn't get going really with Taylor last week. Indy is such a confusing team to me. I feel like they should be better, but they aren't. Like, I don't know. But I think at the end of the day, I just think Jacksonville, they're kind of riding high off that win.
Two wins.
Well, mainly against Buffalo, right? But, like, that defense, like the Jacksonville defense, I think it's maybe not quite back to Saxonville-type level. But it's good enough that if that offense continues to play kind of constipated the way it has been, keeps them in it. So I'm going Jacksonville, I think. Yeah. So you're going Indy, though. It's interesting.
They haven't won much over in America, though, Jacksonville.
Fair enough. Carolina at Miami. Miami, a 13.5-point favorite at home. I'm going, obviously, with Miami.
I don't know about 13.5, but I can see it. I'm taking Miami.
All right. The 4 o'clock window begins with a lone kickoff at 4:05, Nick. New England at Vegas. Vegas, 3-point favorites.
I got to go Vegas.
Same.
Vegas kind of a sneaky. Maybe have a good start here.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they're all that bad anyway. I mean, defensively they're bad, but, like, offensively they're
Crosby's good, though.
Crosby's a menace. That dude is scary.
But that's really it.
Yes. 4:25 window, Detroit at Tampa Bay. Detroit, 3-point favorites. I'm going the Lions. Even though I'm high on Tampa Bay, probably more so than other people, but I'm going the Lions here.
I think this is going to be a setback for the Lions. I think I'm going Tampa Bay.
Home
off
dog.
The off the bye.
East Coast late game as well. So, how about that? Arizona at the Rams. Rams, 6.5-point favorites. There was a part of me that did want to take the Cardinals here, but I just think the Rams are
a lot better than the record shows.
Yeah, a little bit, but I don't know. But I still think the Rams, although it's interesting, for obviously when this premieres, it will be known, but Van Jefferson got traded. So
where'd he go?
Atlanta. But, I mean, they weren't really, I guess, utilizing him like they have in years past, obviously, with Puka Nacua. So, but, I don't know. The Rams got a nice little thing going on, so I'm rolling with the Rams.
Cup's back.
Yeah.
Puka Nacua is a star.
Higby.
Higby. Todd Gurley. I got the Rams.
John Isner.
Shout out John Isner, retired tennis player now.
All right. Philly at the Jets. Jets are a 6.5-point dog at home.
Philly's at the Jets. Jalen Hurts versus Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Going Philly.
Except it's Jalen Hurts versus Zach Wilson. So.
Are you a little disappointed Taylor Swift didn't show up?
Nah. Who cares? I'm going Philly. That's not the purpose of this portion of the program, Nick. Philly. Sunday Night Football, Giants at the Bills, the biggest line of the week. Bills minus 14.
Wow.
I'm going to take Buffalo here, Nick. I'm sorry.
I like the Giants plus 14 a lot.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I might tease it to 14.5, save 2 touchdowns, but I'm taking the Bills.
All right, and then Monday night, Dallas at the Chargers. Chargers are getting 2.5 at home.
I like the Chargers a lot in this game.
Damn it. I was hoping you'd take Dallas here because I, too, am taking the Chargers.
You were hoping I would do what?
You would take Dallas.
Yeah, it doesn't happen much in this program.
No, it does not. All right. Those are our picks. See how it happens at the next week. See if you expand your lead, you keep it the same, or am I tied or even in front of you?
A lot of stake.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about this terrible college football league.
Well, you know, how about the Red River rivalry? Quick, that was a fun game. That's one of those, like, that's what makes college football type games.
Yeah.
And it was nice because it kind of deviated away from the beginning of the Syracuse game for me a little bit because I was going back and forth between the start of the Cuse game and that game because it was going long. But what a fun game. The last in the Big 12 before it moves to the SEC. But that's a game that just makes college football. Like, that was just classic. Two teams that obviously hate each other and smash mouth. They were going at it for the whole game, and it was just awesome to watch.
Yeah, you know, you love watching Baker Mayfield take on Matthew McConaughey.
Do you?
Pat McAfee was at the game. Game day was there,
yep.
I would assume.
Yep.
So
game day was.
Did not get a chance to watch it in the morning, but Yeah, it's a great rivalry. Oklahoma seems to win more. I don't know what it is.
500.
They're evened up now.
Yeah.
They have to win more lately. Texas has been.
I don't know about lately, but since like, I forget what it is, 59 maybe, 1959, it's 500.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. But, you know, is at the time at 3 o'clock on Saturday, I was very excited because I thought it was a nice win for Notre Dame's help.
Mm-hmm.
Get Texas lost. True. Hopefully Oklahoma could lose later. Turns out that doesn't matter anymore. But at the time, I was excited. I was rooting for Oklahoma. I was glad to see him win. Texas, just don't know if they're ever going to do it, man. They're still not a bad loss, but I just don't know if they're ever going to be in that college football playoff until next year when it's 12 teams.
Yeah. Yes. I don't know if it necessarily puts Texas behind the eight ball. I know it definitely helps Oklahoma, obviously, because if they lost here, it'd probably make their climb a little bit tougher since they were ranked lower. But, yeah, I don't know. I like I said, with the SEC being down this year, kind of opens the door for possibilities elsewhere. And to me, it's pretty apparent that even though I thought initially at the beginning of the year that the Big Ten might get two teams in, I don't think that's the case anymore. Where you have a legitimate shot of looking at potentially two teams from the Big 12 or two teams from the Pac-12 getting in.
Yeah.
Because I I don't know if the ACC is going to get one either. Get one. It's tough. It's tough. Florida State's going to have to be Florida State.
Miami just needs to need the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that.
That was insane.
Mario Cristobal has done this in the past, which is known, but like he hasn't taken a knee in Miami. Like, and it's funny that Miami
he's
fans
he's never taken a knee.
It's funny to me. Yes, they have the numbers to back that up. It's funny to me that Miami fans are complaining about ACC refs screwing them over when, like, the refs weren't the ones who really blew that for you at the end of the day. But
usually the refs just assume victory formation occurs.
Right, and I mean, that's the thing, right, is, like, how did they just not knee it? Like, that's just
stupid.
It's wild to me that a coach at that level just doesn't have the wherewithal. And I get running it maybe on the first couple because of the timeout situation for Georgia Tech. But after they burned them all, knee. It's not that difficult. It's okay. But, like, that literally kills any shot that they thought that they had at, honestly, probably the ACC championship game too, let alone the playoff, but, like, the championship game for the ACC.
I think the closest comparison you can get to that in sports is in bocce.
oh, really?
When you have
I'm,
won
I'm
the
intrigued g- by this one. Go ahead.
You've won the game.
Okay.
And you have, like, one or two. You just have any, you have balls remaining while the other team doesn't. You've already scored your winning point. All you got to do is drop your ball, but you roll it anyway. You knock it out. I think that's the closest you get. Just do victory formation.
Okay.
That's the closest. That's the closest comparison.
I'm gonna. I will take your word for it there because I wasn't sure where you were going necessarily right away, but I understand it now that you've kind of explained it a little bit. Yeah, sure.
So if you're bocce,
you
have one ball left. The game is over. All you have to do is drop your ball and shake the person's hand, but instead you roll it and it knocks out the game, the ball in or your ball out of the way.
Right.
And it goes close to the other team ball.
Okay. I'm gonna take the reins back here. Yeah,
not a bocce guy. I get it.
Syracuse got the wee kicked out of them. They weren't.
But that first down was.
Well, yeah, but that didn't.
BS.
That doesn't make or break anything in the grand scheme.
It could have changed early on in that game.
I suppose.
That was terrible, though.
It was bad.
They didn't even take time to look at it.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that, but they just looked completely unprepared to be there.
It's North Carolina. Who wants to be there?
Well, I'm just saying.
I would
actually. They didn't look good. They just didn't look good. And I don't know. The ACC is weird this year. Louisville beats Notre Dame, and I don't know what to make of that because I don't know at this point if we undervalued Louisville and overvalued Notre Dame or if it's somewhere in between because I still am just not sold on Louisville. It was a bit of a chaotic week in the grand scheme.
You screwed me over picking the Giants in Notre Dame.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry, I forgive you.
Do you?
Yeah, unfortunately, that was just a season killer loss. I think the best we can do now is maybe a BCS bowl. We ain't going to the playoff, but
right.
USC kind of takes a damper off the USC game this week now, and
yeah,
it's definitely a bummer. But it's also we're playing four ranked teams in a row, and two of them are on the road, and the other two is Ohio State and USC at home. That is a extremely tough stretch right there. And there's a chance they can go 3-1 in that stretch. But in college football, you got to really win most of your games. And it's a tough loss. And they're not going to be playing for the college football championship this year. So we'll be back next year. It's not over. Not blaming anything on Marcus Freeman. I think he's still done a great job there. And fortunately, I think Dino could be in the last few games as the coach at Syracuse.
Yeah, I don't know at this point with that. Remains to be seen.
The leash, I think, has gone away from the owner, and I think he's going to be going off.
Okay. Well, speaking of going off, my picks last week, 1-4. Not good.
2 weeks in a row.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm still above 500, 19-17-1, so
big week for you.
Yeah, my picks for the week, Fresno State at Utah State. I'm taking Fresno State -6, Friday night game in the Mountain West. Begin there. We head to the Sun Belt in return of a favorite after they had an off week. Georgia Southern at James Madison. I'm taking the Dukes -3.5. We head to the MAC where I once again ride Toledo. They're -17 at Ball State this week, taking the Rockets. Then Ohio at Northern Illinois. I'm taking the Bobcats -6.5. Ohio is a wagon. And then my last game in the SEC, Missouri at Kentucky. I'm taking Missouri +2.5 in that game. So a lot of road warrior for me this week, but that's what I'm riding with.
I know you like your weekend picks, but who do you like? You like Tuesday night football tonight?
Oh, we got some Sun Belt. So the people of the future on Wednesday will know that yesterday and Tuesday was the beginning of some true midweek awesomeness going on. Fun Belt getting it going this year with the CUSA before we get to November when the action fully hits. I love it. Love it. Action every night of the week.
Yeah, man.
Can't beat it. All right, so
speaking of action every night of the week.
Sure. I was about to say, before we get out here, NHL, how you feel about this year for your Rangers, Nick?
Can only go up because last year's postseason run was very disappointing. We'll see, you know. New coach. New look, but a lot of similar players. I mean, just got to – thing with hockey, you just got to get in the playoffs and you got a shot and get hot at the right time. I think that's most of the point of it. But clearly, I mean, Boston Bruins, great, right? One of the best regular seasons. I think it was the best regular season of all time. So just proves you got to be hot at the right time. And just so up in Florida was hot at the right time last year. So. Really, I think the biggest storylines for me, though, not even my Rangers at all, I think is can Vegas continue their dominance, and will Buffalo finally make the playoffs?
So, yeah, I was about to say Buffalo, I think, has a lot of that early season storyline.
Can they
live up to the hype?
When's the last time they made it?
13 years ago.
That's the longest.
2010.
It's got to be the longest in sports.
It's one of the longest ones. I know that. Actually, is it the longest one now, technically? Because the Kings made it last year for the NBA, so.
The Mariners made it the year before.
Yeah, so I think it is them now. I mean, I think they do live up to the hype, but I wouldn't be surprised. In fact, there's going to be growing pains. I think there needs to be some tampered expectations with the Sabres, but, like, I do expect them to still make the playoffs. But, like, there's going to be growing pains. There's going to be some struggle. That's a good team that's young, though, still. And I suppose the real question of the matter is Devin Levi the guy officially in net? Which I think you got to go with. I think Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, I don't know if he's going to need a change of scenery, but things early on just haven't panned out well for him.
Tage Thompson, young superstar.
Right, I think Tage is legit. You got a bunch of guys like Cousins in there as well. Alex Tuck. obviously they lock up Rasmus Dahlin to anchor the defense and more or less be, I guess, the anchor of the team, really, to be fair. There's a bunch of guys there who have the experience now, and they're good enough that I think they get – they at least cross that threshold to the playoffs this year. But, like I said, I think, you know, collectively the fan base, like, expect some growing pains here. That type of stuff happens. I'm intrigued to see, you know, does Seattle continue, I think, their climb and ascension here. You know, that's a team that, you know, they brought pretty much everybody back. They're going to run it back the way it looks. And as long as they continue doing their job and doing their thing, I don't see why they wouldn't be able to contend with Vegas. You know, West is interesting this year. I expect Colorado to, you know, they're going to be pretty much healthy to get going to start of the year. I expect Colorado to be up there this year.
Edmonton finally do something.
Right. I mean, this is kind of like a make or break it year for them in a sense, right? I mean,
two best players in the league.
Can they take the next step? You know, there's a lot of interesting storylines. You know, the East is kind of young this year. Right.
Pressure on the Lightning anymore.
Well, there's, yeah, for the most part. But, like, can they rebound? Can they get back to what they had been the past few years outside of last year? Do the Panthers have what it takes to do what they started last year? Can the Hurricanes kind of live up to the expectations that they have? Same with, like, the Devils. The Bruins, you know, got younger by definition because of retirements. Can they continue the legacy that they have built? You mentioned the Rangers, right? Can they take that leap at this point as well for them?
Pittsburgh and Washington missing it last year.
Do they get back in at all? I would expect Pittsburgh too, to be honest. But, you know, Detroit, they're young. They'll probably be a little bit better than they were last year. Obviously, we know the Blackhawks with Bedard. Can that happen? Can he lead them to the promised land? Probably not this year, but, you know, I expect some improvements. So, hockey's on an interesting year this year. I kind of like what we got going for the season so far.
Well, it's on the triple header to start. I kind of like it.
Same. Yeah, I don't know about the timing of it. 5:30 for the first puck drop. Kinda weird. Interesting. No, yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
So today on Tuesday, they're starting it.
Yeah.
Never heard of a 5:30 start for the season. That's kind of strange.
So prediction. Who do you got winning the Stanley Cup?
Obviously the Devils. I think we both agree with that. I'm going to go with, I think they finally get it done, and I'm going to go Edmonton.
Really?
Over Boston gets there, and I think Boston loses. So I think Edmonton's finally going to get it done.
Interesting. I'm going to go Carolina over Colorado. I think Carolina gets it, and I think Colorado bounces
big
back.
Big rally guy.
Shout out to your shout out from last week.
Yeah, her birthday is actually today. So
how about that? So. But, yeah, I think Carolina gets it done. I like the team they got.
And run it one back. Omission today. I think the Jets are close to the Sabres for the longest playoff drought. Got to be.
The New York Jets? Yes. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Got to be around the same time.
Yeah. I'm like, Winnipeg? Winnipeg makes it pretty consistently, but, you know.
All right, time to get to the big finish.
Yep, that's all for today's episode. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Like, share, subscribe, all the fun stuff. Nick. Who are you shouting out that you teased at the beginning of the show? And
I know people aren't the biggest fan of my celebrity shout outs, but.
Really?
Yeah, you know, in the comments. But I'm going to double celebrity shout out today. Shout out my boys. It is my sister's birthday today, but shout out Andrew McCutcheon and David Bednar.
All right.
Bednar just had the honorary towel wave at the Steelers game the other day. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh man. And A.J. Burnett was in the stands as well, so it was cool. A lot of Pirate connections. Shout out McCutcheon, the GOAT. And shout out Bednard, the closer GOAT.
Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh boy through and through. So, appreciate everybody. We'll talk.
Renegade.
Well, okay. That's true. By sticks. Anyway, appreciate everybody for tuning in. We'll talk again next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.